Welcome into a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Joining us now, Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions as we take a look at weather. And Eric, just for starters, I know we had a pretty substantial severe weather outbreak in parts of the eastern Midwest mid to late week last week. Give us some of the details and recap of what we saw.
Yeah, you know, back on the 14th, we saw severe storm reports from Texas all the way to Ohio, including several deadly tornadoes. And just as it stands, we had over 800 unfiltered reports so far of severe weather. So that puts us ahead of climatological average on both hail and wind. We're still a little bit behind average on tornadoes, but that doesn't mean we haven't had them. And it just gets us thinking, gosh, well, if we're already making this big push early in the season, what does it mean for the rest of March into April and May and June, which are our busiest in terms of severe weather? But the same system that did that also put down in some parts of the Colorado Rockies 4 feet of snow, and also hit parts of the Southwest with some big snows too. So this is what I think kind of is the indicator of a very active end of March and start of April.
Well, thinking about an active end of March, let's talk about what we're looking at for this week ahead. I know many areas east of the Rockies, you know, that spring fever might go away a little bit. We got cooler temperatures and really just a kind of a big cool down here to end the month of March, it sounds like, Eric.
Yeah, and it's important for this to be kind of put into context, because if you look back from February 1st until basically today, the temperature ranks throughout much of the primary corn and soybean belt all the way up to the Great Lakes states. I mean, almost everywhere except for the West. Let's just leave it at that. It's having its warmest, you know, end of winter, start of spring. In fact, there's parts of the Mid-South right now that are 200 GDDs above average. That's like a 3-week jump start on spring temperatures. And as you can tell, I'm sure around you, everything's greening up and budding out and getting ready to go. My son even mowed the lawn twice last week. I mean, it's crazy to think about that. But, you know, we have much colder air in place already this morning. There's a freeze warning that gets almost all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico tomorrow morning. That's a very late freeze event that far to the south, which means we're going to probably hit some of the crops down there pretty hard that are going to possibly get some significant damage. And then for most of the rest of March, even into early April, I don't see any sort of a long break back over to mild conditions. Now, the West has mild air now, but it doesn't even last out in the Western U.S. for that long either. So we settle back into a cooler pattern that's going to throw the brakes on everything. And, you know, often hear, you know, growers talk about two dates. They always think about two dates. They're going to go fast after Easter, or they're going to go fast after tax day. This is a tax day year. Don't go fast after Easter. I think we got cooler air still in place to start that first week of April.
Well, and it sounds like for some folks might see some significant precipitation as well. I've been seeing some chatter on social media the last few days that there could be a fairly impactful winter storm to hit the northern plains. Is that true, Eric? What are you seeing right now?
Yeah. So starting last, well, let me rephrase that. Starting back in January, I got asked on a radio interview from a station called WILL. It's right here in Champaign. It's an NPR affiliate. A guy named Todd Gleason says, Eric, what do you want? Like, if you could dial up, I said, I want a big March blizzard. He's like, no, I don't want a big, I said, no, but I do, because if we can get something huge in March, a big slow mover, it's going to bring rain south and a bunch of snow north. And what I like about it, it's before we do anything, right? We can still use it, and snow melts slowly. So instead of having all the rain run off, I want the snow to melt slowly and soak. And so I had this wish cast, and now it might be there, man. So starting this weekend, we have enough cold air out ahead of this, that this deep low that today is south of the Aleutian Islands comes through the Pacific Northwest, drives itself right into the central part of the United States. And yeah, from Alberta through Montana, through the Dakotas, Minnesota, which right now is less, most of Minnesota is less than 20% of normal snow, into northern Wisconsin, which is the same way. There is the chance there now in the models, there is a 50% chance of better than 6 inches and a 40% chance of better than a foot. And so if we get that, man, that is going to be crazy, you know, late season snow. Now, that's this weekend. To the south of this system, we'll likely get heavy rains, severe storms. I mean, it's the typical spring setup for that. But that's going to hit an area that has not measured a drop of rain in 30 days. Could hit Iowa with decent moisture as well. And if there's a spot in the country that I would tell you that's desperate, it's that western and northern corn belt that's got to get moisture back into place. So, we don't enjoy it, but we need it.
Something to definitely keep our eyes on. We'll watch the forecast here as we go through this week, as we get that final setup towards the weekend. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, kind of getting into spring, summer. Let's talk about some of those outlooks. I know you've been gathering your thoughts on what we're looking at here for the longer range models. So give us some of those thoughts, Eric. What are you seeing here as we get later into spring and into summer?
Yeah, so most of the models are being very much controlled by El Nino, which they should. I mean, that's how dynamically the atmosphere is going to respond to changes in ocean temperatures in the Pacific. And so there's two camps. One has the El Nino just collapsing into strong La Nina by summer. And those models begin with drought in the southern plains and the four corner states in the Great Basin. And by midsummer, spread it into the central United States, so the hard red winter wheat belt, the mid-south, creeping into the corn belt by mid to late summer. And those are the models that want to just give you full-on 1988 repeat. Now, there's another suite of forecast models that are less aggressive on that. And one of the big ones is the European model. It attempts to keep the driest conditions in the Western United States. It keeps it in the Great Basin. It keeps it in the Western Plains. And it keeps a lot of storms rolling through much of the rest of the country. I'm going to use analogs, because if I go back and look at every year since 1950, where there was an El Nino in the winter, fading into neutral in spring, which is what we have, and possibly La Nina by fall, what did they all do? They put the greatest drought risk from the southern plains to the mid-south to the southeast, one of those three areas. And north of it, we tended to have a lot of ridge riding thunderstorms. It also tended to be a hotter summer overall for most places east of the Rocky Mountains. So it is possibly going to be set up as a hotter and wetter summer for a lot of the primary corn and soybean belt, which presents its own problems. So what I'm telling you here right now is that I don't have major indications of 2024 being bin busting, but I don't see disaster yet. You know what I'm saying? So we're kind of teetering on the potential for having a few pockets of drought south, south central, maybe southeast, but a lot of storms and maybe wetter conditions to the north, with hot overnight lows and maybe too much moisture at times. So is there a good year that matches this year? No. I've been asked a lot about 3 years in particular. I've been asked a lot about 2016. Maybe it's a close analog, but not perfect. A lot of folks right now are talking about 2010. I don't like 2010 as a perfect analog. And then I've been asked more about 1988 than any other year. And I don't think 88 is going to be the repeat either. So something new is on the horizon, but I'm thinking warmer and wetter is the story for the primary corn and soybean belt right now.
All right. Good thoughts. Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions joining us on American Ag Today. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.